KRWG is proud to be involved with the Las Cruces Mayor's Top Teens. Every year, great students who've overcome challenges and given back to the community are honored. And I am pleased to have with us today Top Teen Leticia Martinez. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mr. Martino. It's my pleasure.
It's great to have you with us. And I want to start off with a passion of yours. In fact, as we're talking, I know you're just waiting in the next hour to be getting into the water. You're a championship swimmer, and I understand that goes beyond Las Cruces, too.
Yeah, I've traveled nationally, or internationally, sorry. I've gone to Mexico, and I'm going to North Dakota here in a week. So it's cool. I get to travel places that I probably never would have gone if I wasn't involved in swimming.
And this is the Paralympics, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. Paralympics, yes.
All right. So tell me about your goals with the Paralympics.
Well, I'm trying out for the 2012 Paralympic London team,
okay.
Which is late August, early September. I'm not sure exactly when it is, but it's right after the normal Olympics. And I try out in a week. We leave on Monday, actually, to go.
Okay.
And so my goal is to... I have to be either number one or two in the world in order to make it to the traveling team to go to the Paralympics. So that's my goal. That's my most recent goal right now. And then if I do make it to the Olympics, I'd like to get a gold medal or even a silver medal or even a bronze medal. But, of course, a gold medal would be...
The gold medal would be best, wouldn't
yes.
it? Yes. Well, congratulations to you on that. And for folks that are listening... We should explain that our interview is being taped on June 5th, and I will let you know, because I'm sure Leticia is going to email me and let me know how this meet went, because by the time this airs, the meet will be over.
Yes.
So we may be saying that at the end of the interview that you're off to London.
That would be the best.
That'd be great. So how'd you become interested in swimming?
Well, actually, I was looking for a sport because I have a lot of energy, and I used to just... sit around the house and jump rope. And so we tried track because a friend of mine, Mr. Montoya, he works at Vista Middle School. He's a crazy runner. He runs Ironmans and marathons, and he's done triathlons. So he's really into that stuff. And so he was all... He's the track coach. He used to be the track coach for Vista, so he was, like, trying to get me to join. And so I joined track, and I liked it. It was okay. And then after that, we did a triathlon, so I had to do some swimming. And so I was like, I really like swimming. So, and I was trying to decide which high school I was going to go to, and Cruces had the swim team. So I was like, oh, it'll give me another chance to try swimming. So once I started going to Cruces, I joined the swim team, and then I just fell in love, and then I kept going, and I joined a club team, and now the Paralympics, and so it all kind of just came one after another.
All right, fantastic. And we should explain, in terms of the Paralympics, the reason that you're qualified for that is that you are legally blind.
Yes, and I'm not illegal.
And you're not illegal. You're legally blind. And you talked about this in a chance that I had to hear you speak in front of a group. And you talked about the technique that you use to stay safe while swimming.
Oh, yes. Well, I still run into the lane lines, as you can see my wonderful scratches.
A few scratches there.
Yeah. But we have a little device that you attach to the lane line. And it's like a piece of plastic with a ball at the end. And so when I'm swimming, I go over it, and so then I know where the wall is. But those don't really work well for meets, because you know how meets, they go so fast, so you don't have
sure.
time to go in and attach them to the lane line. So we have, we use my canes, and we put little noodles at the end of them, so they're soft, because my parents stand on each side of the lane, and when I'm coming towards the wall, they hit me. So we needed something soft so I don't, eventually get a concussion or
something.
They
don't want to knock you out. That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
So they stand out there, and when I'm a certain amount of meters from the wall, they'll tap me, and then I can flip turn, and it doesn't, so it works pretty good, actually.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
And what are some other ways, Leticia, that you have learned to negotiate around your sight issues? Other examples that you would give to people who are not familiar with this? And I mentioned that this is that all top teens have some challenge. This is your challenge.
Well, I have a cane, and most people say it's the first thing you see when you see me. Mm-hmm. And so I use that to help me with finding objects and different things so I don't walk into trees or poles or walk into holes or something. Mm-hmm. So that helps protect me. And then if I'm in a new area and if I'm with somebody, I usually do human guide with them just to get to know the place before I start walking around on my own and, you know, get lost or something. And so that's usually what I do. But at school, for instance, since I know the place really well, I usually don't walk with human guide with people, which is where you hold on to their elbow. I usually just walk with my cane and get around. And I kind of have like a memory of where certain things are. And then I can kind of hear like if a door is opened or if like there's an opening in the hallway. So I can hear that. So I kind of use my hearing to help me walk around too, because I've also noticed I tried walking listening to my MP3 player like, you know, all those other kids do. And I started like running into walls and stuff. Okay. So I noticed that I use my hearing more than I actually thought I did.
Mm.
And I don't count my steps. People have asked me if I count my steps, but I would go crazy if I counted my steps. So I just kind of go like that.
The sound is very important. And I understand going to college, you're hoping to get a guide dog. Is that right?
Yes, that'll make it a lot easier. And my independence will be a lot easier because I'll have the dog, and the dog will help me tremendously.
Yeah. Has technology helped at all for you? Things that are more high tech to help?
Oh, yes, actually. The equipment that I have now, like the thing that I use for school to write all my assignments, that has helped me a lot. And if I didn't have that, I would have had to have used this old-fashioned typewriter, which it's basically just like a typewriter. It's just in Braille. Mm-hmm. And so, but we'd have to send it to somebody so they could translate it so that my teachers could grade it. And it takes a lot longer. But the thing that I have, it's like a laptop. And so you can hook it up to a printer and it'll print and print. So that saves a lot of time. And then I can read it in Braille too. So that really helps. And then they have all kinds of things that we could use to listen to books. It's like an iPod, but it's called the Victor Stream, and you can download books onto it, and then it'll read you, and it's all auditory, so I can navigate through it. And what else? There's so many pieces of technology that I use every day, but they've all helped me a lot. Like, I don't know what I would do without them, even though sometimes I don't get along with them.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I know from personal experience that you are a great public speaker, as I asked you to speak at this year's Top Teens Breakfast, and you did a marvelous job.
Thank you.
The highlight of the event, I would say. I see you also received an award for public speaking at the Southern New Mexico State Fair. What did you speak about at the fair?
I actually spoke about life for a blind person versus life for a normal person. Mm-hmm. But it was called, the name of the speech was called Looking Through the Lens with Vision, I think. Yeah, that's what it was called. So it was kind of tied into my life versus everybody else's life, and then shared a little bit of facts and stuff like that. It was a prepared speech, and so it was about 6 to 7 minutes long. I don't remember exactly. And so we had to have it all memorized, and then we competed in the state and stuff. And I got first here, and then at the state, I think I got, like, third, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the annual said.
Yeah. Oh, okay, then, yeah, I got third.
I hope it's right. So that's what it said. How'd you become interested in public speaking? That's intimidating for a lot of people, including me.
I guess I don't have to look at people looking at me, so it makes it a little better.
Makes it a little easier.
Well, once I joined 4-H, they have different things that you can do, like you can show animals, you can shoot, you can cook, you can make stuff out of leather, and then you have the speaking aspect of it. And so since a lot of those things I couldn't do, like make leather and stuff, or I can't judge, because you can judge too, judge animals. Mm-hmm. And so I showed animals, and I did baking, and then somebody mentioned speaking and public speaking, and they said it helps, you know, if you're shy or whatever. I'm not shy, but it helps, you know, and they said it was fun, so I thought I'd try it out. And so I started out with impromptu speaking, which is where they give you a topic and you have about 3 to 5 minutes to prepare a speech, and then you go out in front of the judges and you have to present your speech, but you can't use your notes, so you just have to kind of memorize it, or if you don't memorize it, you wing it. And so I tried doing that, and it was really fun. I mean, it was kind of a challenge at certain topics depending on what you got for that topic, so some of them were challenging, but some of them it was really fun, and it made you think on the spot, and you had to become creative. And so then I got decent at those, and then I thought I'd try a prepared speech and see how it went, and then I liked that. And then every time we have to speak in class, I'm always excited, so I just kind of, I guess 4-H is the one that drove me to start liking it.
Yeah, all right. And speaking of 4-H, you also earned the 4-H Citizenship Award. Tell me about that.
Well, I don't remember. I think it was 2 years ago, I think, right? And so we have a banquet, I guess you could say, at the end, like in December, for the whole year of the 4-H, and we recognize everybody and their awards and stuff. And so they give a citizenship award, and they give two other awards. And so you can actually apply to be chosen for those. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I'd apply, you know, you can't lose anything. So I thought I'd apply. And then I went through an interview, and I had to write an essay and stuff like that of why I've portrayed the citizenship award. And then
And what were some of the things that you said? I mean, can you remember some of the points that you made as to why you would be considered for the citizenship award?
Well, I'm in 4-H clubs, and I have been like the vice president and treasurer and calling secretary, so I've held those offices. And so they wanted, you know, a little bit of leadership, and so I've done that as leadership. And then one time we had a baking club, and I was the junior leader, and so I led that. My mom was actually the senior leader, so I helped organize and get all the baking stuff put together. And then my club at the time was full of like little kids, so we would help the little kids, you know, with baking, or if they needed help with their other projects, we would try to help them.
That's wonderful.
And so I talked about that. And
you've also sent stuff to soldiers overseas, correct?
Yes, because we have to do we do community service once a month, and so that's one of them that we do a lot, because one of the people in our club, their dad is actually overseas, so we focus on that a lot. But it's cool. It's good because they don't always get that much attention, I guess.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Tell me about your plans for the future.
I'm still thinking about it. I do know I want to be involved in swimming still, and maybe speaking. But after I go to college, I want to get my master's. There's a lot of things I want to get my master's in, either in journalism.
Well, you can get more than one master's degree.
Oh,
I know this from experience. Communication and public administration. Those are my two.
Yeah.
And now I'm working on a doctorate, believe it or not.
Oh, really? You just like to learn, don't you?
lifelong learning. That's right.
I don't know if I want to go to college for that long, but...
Okay.
But I'm getting my degree in communications, so.
And that'll be at New Mexico State, your
yes,
hope? Okay,
yes.
New Mexico State for communication. Well, maybe you'll even be at one of these mics, but not being interviewed, but doing an interview.
Yes,
How about that?
Be a goal of mine. That would be fun. That's great.
Leticia Martinez, congratulations on being a top teen and all of the other things that you do. And I can't wait to hear about the swim meet.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Martino. Thank you for being so...